Hey, we're about to start the episode, but we have a few announcements. As you know, as you are bunkered down, we are not out on the road doing any live appearances. We wish we were, but we've got some big news, Natasha.
Oh, I have a show starting on CBS April 2nd. It's called Broke, 9:30 after Mom. Check it out.
It's actually coming out. It's already out. So go check it out. Go to the CBS app. Go watch on CBS. Natasha's one of the stars of a brand new sitcom. So exciting. And if you want to keep up on my content, I do have a new album out. It's called Crowd Surfing. You can still get it. It's still so good. And if you want to know a lot more about me, go to Amazon. Buy my book. It's called Casher in the Rye, and it's the perfect quarantine read. Casher in the Rye.
And we're very excited that our show is now on YouTube, so you can listen on YouTube for free. It's very easy. And make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, because then if we get enough subscriptions, then we get to...
Things change. Everything
changes.
Have
a page. I want to have like a page so that people can talk on the page.
Let's get that page. So if you're already subscribed here, go subscribe there. You don't even have to look again. Just do it. Do it for the love. Do it for the community. Do it for the Endless Honeymoon Podcast.
Oh, and Chelsea Peretti, our guest on this episode, has a brand new EP coming out in just a month. I've heard it. It's funny and it is good music. So get that when it comes out.
Let's start the show.
Welcome to the Endless Honeymoon Podcast.
My name's Moshe Kasher.
And I'm Natasha Leggero, his wife.
And we have hit the, I would say, the absurdist third act of our quarantine experience.
You think this is as weird as it's going to get?
No, I think this might have many acts, but it's getting a little weird. You've had a novelty bow tie on for over a week now. I'm not kidding.
I know, but I just thought it was funny, like how when those frat guys wear those things around their neck, like puka shells.
Yeah, but
and they wear them in the sea.
Yeah, but you've worn it in the sea. Well, not in the sea, but you've worn it in
a hot tub.
A hot tub.
And in a bath and in a shower. I told you to tell me if it starts getting like dark.
It's looking gray.
Oh man.
But you do look like a Chippendale. Ooh.
Could I oxy clean it and then put it back on?
Let's oxy it and pop it back on.
I didn't want to take it off.
I don't want you to take it off. It's become almost like the totem of our quarantine experience. Today was...
I feel like we got into 400 fights today.
Right. It's getting worse. It's definitely getting worse. The other day, a bag of garbage spilled on my foot. There were coffee grounds and spent oranges on my feet.
Because I walked into the kitchen and Moshe's like... Walk towards the sink with this bag. Hold it open. Walk towards the sink with the bag. Hold it open. I didn't know what you were talking about.
I'm
trying to figure it out. And then all of a sudden, coffee grinds fall everywhere.
No, not all of a sudden. They were already there. I said, walk toward the sink and hold it out. And you crouched down like you were crawling under barbed wire and started. I don't know what the idea was there. But things are definitely getting weirder. Today was definitely a weird day. I had watched the kid for the first half of the day because Natasha is writing a book and she wanted a few hours to herself to write the book. So I took the kid and then she came down.
And let me just say too, when I say I need a few hours, like I feel like for like an hour and a half I was lighting incense and then you were like, are you done?
It's not my fault too. It's not my fault.
My process is fucked.
It's some arcane beat poet. Like set up.
I gotta get in the mood. I can't just like steal away like 20 minutes and like write a great paragraph.
Ain't
I need to have like 5 hours to like procrastinate and think. I read an essay on eternity. You know, I smoked some pot. I need to like kind of get into a zone.
But you read an essay on eternity before you sat down to write? That's what I was doing downstairs watching the kid.
I'm just saying. No, then I did finally end up getting to the writing, but it took a long time.
At any rate.
Okay, so you were watching her. Thank you.
But I was going to say, to your point, this whole idea that we're going to take this quarantine to like pen the great American novel, like I haven't done anything. I mean, I haven't done anything. I did a lights out online panel with David Spade and Zanib Johnson yesterday. It was the only time I have felt like sort of professionally, other than this podcast, professionally useful in what feels like what feels like the topic of the essay that you wrote.
Eternity.
A straight
That's
up eternity.
Why it grabbed my eye. The idea of like time just like not having a beginning or an end, because it was reminding me of how I'm feeling right now.
We are having this experience, and I understand that this is an ivory tower to talk about this from, because we're not sick. No one in our family
exactly.
is sick. And if you're and thank God, you know, we saved enough money this last year that our bills aren't something that we're sweating about. So for those people that this is
For a few months.
No doubt. But I'm just saying, like, some people, this is the first of the month. We're recording on April Fool's. By the way, did I tell you I'm HIV positive? Just a little
very, very funny.
Little April Fool's joke for you there. But some people, their rent was due today. And so some people are literally looking at the end of a moving sidewalk, like I'm about to fall off into homelessness. So I understand the privilege of this sentiment, but there is something that's like almost kind of, and I like weirdly pleasurable about this experience of just bunkering down, spending time with our kids, spending time with each other, cooking every meal. Like when something needs to be fixed around the house, you know, like I fix it. When something needs to be cleaned around the house, like, you know, we're way more fastidious about cleaning and taking care of stuff. And like, it almost feels like there's a part of it that almost feels like, why were we doing this stuff in the other way in the first place? Like, if this thing...
For families, I think, feel... I don't know that single people feel that as much.
I wonder, to the single people listening, is there some part of you that's feeling like a connection to something simpler? Because there is this feeling I'm having, like, what if this thing could just break the back of the whole horrifying system we've all been... I don't hold any confidence in that idea, but it is a kind of a nice aspiration to think, like, what if this revealed the absurdity of the society and the rat race we were living in? What if? And there's no better example than what happened today. You came down, you tapped me out, right? It was time for you to watch the kid. I just sat down for a hot game of Apex Legends, the video game that I've been obsessed with. And that's really good because I can do it in between. It's like 20-minute rounds or whatever. But I can finish one of those. I sat down for a sesh. All of a sudden, I hear from the other room, just like, Moshe! Moshe! Frida! Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Moshe! Moshe! Our kid! Help! Help! I swear to God, I thought she had fallen off the balcony or something. Like it was horrifying.
Well, she shit in the closet.
She had...
Well...
That was the crisis.
No.
Was she shit in the closet? Was she said she... How did it go?
I mean, basically, I'm potty training her, and she didn't happen to have...
We're potty training her.
We're potty training her, and she didn't happen to have any underwear on.
Right.
Or a diaper.
She
and
freak.
She was, like, shitting in the closet, and I was like, hold it, hold it. And I was trying to get her on our, you know, beautiful oriental rugs on the way...
You were running with her.
Running with her.
Running with her like a downed soldier.
And then she started shitting while I was running all over the rug.
She dropped a fatty. And
then we got into the bathroom.
Natasha got past the rug into the bathroom. That is when she started screaming. It was once she had already done the Hansel and Gretel trail of Dookie to the bathroom that she screamed at me, come this way, help me, and run towards me. Run in the shit path. She didn't say those words, but once I took the run to my family, my darling, loving family that I care about so deeply that I ran at full speed through a booby trap minefield of baby shit and stepped in, I would say, every piece of it, not knowing what was happening.
I did scrub your shoes, though, afterwards.
That's true. But the instinct to scream at me run toward the shit was so funny to me. It was like, I was kept thinking about war. Like there was a, you know, there was sniper fire or mines, and you were screaming like, to the minefield, to the minefield. Anyway, I stepped in full on log, baby log.
I'm sorry. That made no sense that I called for you so you would run down the shit aisle.
But I did run down the shit aisle.
I know.
And it was like
I'm
a
sorry.
Supermarket sweepstakes episode because I picked up every item.
I know. I'm still trying to get my bearings. I really am a little lost. I feel a little, I don't know. I do have work to do, but at the same time, like, I just kind of want to zone out.
I know.
And I kind of need to, like, zone out and, like, do the dishes and, like, just think about what's happening, because I also think there's, like, a panic to create and make stuff. And I think that, you know, just kind of, like, taking in this time in history, because this is, like, everyone keeps saying nothing like this has ever happened in the world that we've lived in. So, like, this is obviously a big moment.
Sure.
If everybody's saying that, That to me means that we're living through a time that's like bigger than the Depression, bigger than the Jazz Age, bigger than Woodstock, whatever those things are in your head that you think are, you know, milestones that you weren't able to live through. Like, you're actually living through one. 9/11, but it's like, it doesn't really seem that comparable. This is like a world global. I mean, I know 9/11 had global implications, but like, this just seems like a bigger thing.
I'm just grateful that we have a strong leader at the helm of this crisis that we can trust to steer the ship.
That's what I mean.
Get
so
us
it's
through
like
the storm.
That kind of double whammy. So anyway, that makes me want to zone out a little bit. And then I'm like, have this kid that I have to spend a lot of energy and time with, that I want to spend a lot of energy and time with. But it's just like, after that, I don't really have much left for anything else.
Right. Yeah, no, I get it.
You know what I mean?
To be doing less than you've ever done before and still be exhausted.
Yeah, like that's what I mean. So then I'm like, I go up to write, like I was literally like doing incense.
You were doing incense?
I was just lighting incense for like an hour.
How do you even light incense?
I don't know.
For an hour?
I light it and then I think and then I read the essay and I blare music and you know what I mean? I'm trying to like get out of this like zone of the internet and also checking my phone. I think it's like a very dark situation that we're in, because not only has nothing like this ever happened before, but now we all have like at the palm of our hands like this trap of terror and panic that is available to us at any second. So anyway, we don't have to get into that,
but I was saying
that makes me not feel very creative.
No, I was going to say, like, it's crazy that like 4 years ago when Trump was elected, everybody, right and left and center, started staring at their phones like every waking moment. Like the news started to like became this kind of like a, you know, that worm creature in The Empire Strikes Back. Well, okay, wrong audience. But it just became this like this snake that ate, that I just felt like like Job and the whale. We just all got swallowed up by the news cycle. Mm-hmm. And we're like, this is endless. It's the news never ends. The bad news never ends. And then it's almost like the universe was laughing at us. Like, oh, you thought this was bad news? Oh, no. You thought Trump, you thought this whole political churning and unrest was bad news? No, bad news is coming in 2020.
You thought Bernie Bros were bad news?
Yeah. How about this trapdoor? Global pandemic. It's like beyond politics. We're into I don't know what. We're into straight up the jaws of death.
But yes, it's bad. And so we've been fighting a lot. And
that's
I feel
true.
Like we also need to maybe, if anyone has any suggestions for things that we can figure out, I think we need to do some fun things together. Because I feel like you're really good at doing things by yourself when you're bored. Like I keep, you know, like you've been watching these movies and every night you're like, I need to finish a movie. And then I realized like yesterday, like this movie you've been finishing for three nights. It's been three different movies, but it's the same cast of characters.
Yeah.
And then you're watching bad 90s Star Trek movies again?
I'm rewatching the Star Trek The Next Generation films.
They barely seem like movies.
I will agree with you there. They do mostly seem like double episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation.
It seems like an episode of like Murder, She Wrote.
No. No, that's rude. Yeah, last night she like, because the thing is, I watch them when Natasha's like drifting off to sleep. I watch them with really low volume and the subtitles on. And all of a sudden she stirs awake and she goes, is that the same actor from the movie last night? And I was like, yeah. He's like, is that the same android from the movie last night? Like, oh, yeah. It's like, is this the same cast? I was like, well, yeah, it's a franchise. And she woke up. I would say you were no longer tired in any way. Roasted me for about 20 minutes straight about Star Trek and then went back to sleep. It was pretty lovely.
Well, I think that you're entitled to your...
Thank you.
You like to play your video game.
Captain Picard is my incense.
Right. I guess that's true.
That's right. It's like comfort food. He's a comfort man. And I like to see it. And by the way, today, Star Trek Nemesis, Commander Data, the android built by Dr. Noonien Singh...
Oh, my God.
...with a positronic network that's powering him... said in the wedding ceremony of Deanna Troi and Commander William Riker, ladies, gentlemen, and invited transgender species. And I thought to myself, this is 1998. Commander Data is woke. Woke before woke. They were inviting the trans community to their wedding. And I thought that was beautiful. What did your essay on eternity have to say about trans rights?
Honey, what's Commander Data? Well, that's like an actual character?
I'm glad you asked. Commander Data is a character played by Brent Spiner, and he plays the one and only android in the universe of Star Trek The Next Generation, developed by Dr. Noonien Singh.
Oh my God.
And the truth is, he's not really the only, because he had a brother named Lore, who was a bit of an evil twin. Now, Data's primary motivation was to be...
You can't.
What?
The Star Trek.
It's not doing it for you? I thought you'd be raring to go. I thought you'd be getting horny.
Well, you did ask. I was thinking, like, yeah, what's worse? Like, hearing you in the other room being like, shoot him. Do you have a gun? Like, talking to your friends while you play the video games. Or having, like, Commander Data. And I do like Patrick Stewart. At least he's, like, a boon.
Commander Data is one of the great characters
in TV
history.
Which one makes you want to have sex with someone less?
Makes you want to have sex with someone less. If I ever saw you in a Federation uniform, I would not be able to keep my hands off you. I would energize all up in that ass.
All right, well, I think maybe we should get this show on the road.
Let's get this show on the road. And we thought we would bring in a very special guest, one of our dear friends, someone that I've known since junior high school, and someone that we've just been friends with for so long. Our kids are friends. So let's give a call to the one and only Chelsea Peretti.
Hello?
Peretti.
Am I on the air?
Yeah, you're on the air.
I was going to say I liked your sexy voice, but I
thanks, girl. Well, I want to talk about love and sex, you know. I why do you guys sound like you're across a garage from me?
What do you mean? Do we sound weird?
Yeah, you sound really echoey and distant.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe it's because we're on a three-way call-in through many, many cords. Is it hard to hear us?
Why don't you guys do a Zoom cast?
So I'm so glad we called, because we were mostly calling to get some sort of tips and tricks.
Listen, everything's Zoom now. Okay? Oh, okay. Zoom.
What do you think, Chelsea, of these like baby Zoom meetings? Because I feel like my kid was in like 8 classes and now every single class is a Zoom.
I think that it's not really great for the attention span and the tactile learning of a 2-year-old, but I think it's going to get better. And I just want to talk about pussies and dicks.
Okay, that's fine.
And love and like all the kinds of ins and outs of love and dicks.
Okay. Chelsea, that's great, because that's what we were wondering about. We were calling to see what you thought about pussies and dicks and whether we should transfer over to a Zoom-based format.
I think Zoom is where it's at. And now what I call fucking is Zooming.
Oh, it reminds us of the Bay Area days where all I want to do is zoom, and a boom, boom.
Zoom, and a boom, boom. But I say, and a zoom, zoom.
Oh,
I
you just do four zooms? Zoom. Yeah. All I want to do is zoom, and a zoom, 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 and a zoom, zoom.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, it's been invigorating. I like sometimes turn to my partner, who I like to keep anonymous, and I say to him, hey, I know you're writing a screenplay, but you want to Zoom?
Mm.
And then we go off and we fucking Zoom, man.
Now, does he respond in kind? Is he like, oh, I love to Zoom you? Or is he kind of annoyed by the whole premise?
Well, we usually sing that whole Zooma Zoom Zoom song together during, before, and after.
You sing Rex and FX's Zoom Rump Shaker, but with Zoom instead of Boom Boom for the hook.
That's right.
Oh, wow. This is... What a revealing interview this has been.
You know, usually I don't open up, but I wanted to give you guys something scintillating and something that would really rev the engines of your listeners.
Tosh, what do you think? Do you think we should Zoom later tonight?
We already Zoomed today.
Oh, that's what? Now that's information that I wasn't expecting you to bring
now
to this
you're
interview.
Zooming with Zoom.
Chelsea, okay, listen, do you want to just do a call?
Yeah.
Let's do a call. Our first caller right now, I'm going to tell you their name and their location, and we will try to see what's wrong with their Zoom life.
It's Kelly in Tacoma.
Let's call Kelly in Tacoma and see why she's not Zooming.
Tacoma, by the way, what a nightmare.
Oh, you've broken out of character, Chelsea. The news cycle has entered your Zoom character.
No, Tacoma, I'm talking about the comedy club, not the news cycle.
Oh, you weren't talking about it being the epicenter of the virus in North America, but the
is
Tacoma.
Is that the epicenter?
Well, I think the Seattle-Tacoma area is a,
I thought New York was now.
It's getting there. New York is.
Florida was.
Oh, brother. We got a lot of centers.
All I know is we're behind New York, so.
Oh, yeah. We're doing good. California's doing good.
Yeah.
Okay, let's call.
We're flattened.
Okay. We're flattened. Oh, yeah, we're flattening that curve.
Hey, you know what flattened my curve? Middle age.
I don't quite know what you mean, but I think I do.
I'll show you. Check your Zoom later.
All right, here we go. Kelly in Tacoma.
Okay.
Hello?
Kelly.
Yes.
Chelsea, are you there?
Yeah.
Great. That's Chelsea Peretti. I'm Moshe Kasher.
I'm Natasha Leggero. What's up?
What's happening, Kelly?
Hey, we are.
Oh, yeah. We are. We are the Zoom. We are the rap group Rex and Effects. And we're here to shake your rump.
Together, somehow, we become Rex and Effects.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
How's Tacoma treating you, Kelly?
Tacoma's okay. I mean, we're rife with coronavirus, I guess, and I'm locked in the house with someone I'm trying to divorce and my two kids.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Does he know? He or she know?
He knows.
Oh, my God. That is a nightmare.
That is really the worst version of the quarantine.
Now, did you know you wanted to divorce him before this quarantine stuff started happening?
Yeah, it was already in motion.
Now, see, if I were him, I would be fucking trying to, I'd be washing dishes, I'd be playing fucking slow jams every night, trying to fucking, I'd be setting up little French bistro in the kitchen. I mean, this is his chance. He's got you. Can't fucking escape.
You truly can't leave.
Captive audience. Well, he was doing that shit because he was like, making me a cup of tea without me asking, which I wouldn't ask him to do that. He's like buying dairy-free ice cream. And one day I was like, hey, you know, this stuff is...
A cache of toilet paper.
Well, I was like, hey, I'm starting to feel a little uncomfortable because, you know, we're getting along, but we're still getting divorced. So...
Why did that? Now, see, I can't imagine having my mind made up about someone like that, but give me a couple of years.
I know, he sounds like a real monster.
I mean, he sounds great. What else do you have going on? I mean...
It sounds like a challenging situation for sure.
Is that what you're calling about?
Yes.
What?
How can we help you? Maybe give you some direction.
Okay. Yes, that's what I'm calling about. So we're divorcing amicably. We've been cohabitating. Like, I'm in the guest room. And like I said, we have two little kids.
How old are they talking?
7 and 4.
Okay.
And of course now we're staying in place and we're working from home and we don't know when the end is in sight. We had already started working with a mediator to negotiate our divorce. And now we're at a point where the next step is to actually do the negotiation where we figure out like how we're going to separate the assets and the house and things like that. Mm-hmm. And the mediator reached out and said, hey, we can do this remotely if you want, because that's the only way we can do
Wait,
it.
Wait, what if the mediator reached out and she was like, hey, I'm fucking your husband.
Listen, I don't think you I wouldn't leave him if I were you, but your loss is my gain.
You're like, well, can we just speed this shit up then?
I was going to say, it might be kind of cool because everybody's looking for a place and everybody's lonely. Maybe you should move the mediator in with the two of you and you can all shelter in place together and do your mediation together and you'll be ready to go.
I mean, great.
You know what? I also thought of something you can do if you need a little space. Just drive around your block 100 times.
I mean, you say that like it's unreasonable, but I won't lie. That your neighbors. Extra laps.
neighbors are like, she's zooming around the block again. I think they're probably headed for divorce.
Wait, Chelsea, I'm confused. Zooming around the block, you mean she's fucking somebody else in the car? Like you're.
You know what's interesting, Masha? Yeah. Even in the course of this call, the culture has shifted from Zoom stance. Zoom is now slang for anything.
Oh, you're saying it's developed into Zoom can mean to go fast in a car.
That's
now.
That's right.
The culture has shifted.
Now, what's your name, Tacoma? Kelly? Kelly?
Kelly.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you do Zoom meetings with your mediator now?
I might. So my question is, should I kind of like push ahead and do this negotiation remotely? Locked in the house for an undetermined period of time, or should I just hold off and wait till the world?
You know what
again?
You should do? You should get a contractor, to come in and close off the guest room door with, build a wall there.
So it becomes a studio apartment that you own?
And then charge him rent.
Yeah. Oh, then you start charging him rent?
Who's on the deed?
We both are.
Wait, Kelly, I have a serious question. What percentage would you get back together with him? Is it zero?
Sounds like zero.
Yeah, it sounds like a hard zero.
It's a hard zero.
Okay.
It's a hard zero.
Okay.
It's been a long
time. See, now I need at least a hard 9 or 10.
I'm just trying to focus on me right now.
Sorry, Kelly.
I'm
really riled up. I heard this was a love line.
No, you're trying to focus on you right now, Kelly. Was that to Chelsea, or was that just generally part of why? Oh, okay. I was gonna say it would be it'd be very funny to me if you were like, look, I'm just trying to focus on me right now. I've got a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old, and it's time for me to just focus down on Kelly.
Listen.
So I don't know. What do you think, guys? What do you think? What would you wait?
So
mediate?
The question is to do it now.
To wait until shelter in place is over, till the storm passes, because she can't
do it now. Do it through Zoom.
But the problem is, once it's over,
he can go find a place.
Is that possible?
Yeah.
He would just move out during the quarantine.
People are renting places. Find a place. Get some Lysol.
I wouldn't subject him to the risk of coronavirus. I mean,
he had coronavirus, you guys.
Oh, okay. Well, no, this changes everything.
This really does. Toss him out.
Yeah.
He's already feeling better. He's already fine.
And but, you know, there's 7 strains he could get reinfected. They're not certain that you get immunity.
That's true.
So
that's true. I'm going to take my
chances. They being Mike Pence.
Wait, Kelly, what's your thought process? Why would you want to do it now, and why would you want to hold off?
Okay, I would want to do it now because I just kind of want to keep the momentum going forward so that we can continue to keep like processing and healing and all that shit. And then I think also there's a part of me that wants to like feel that forward motion to see that like my life is, you know, going to go on, because we're just holding. And it's hard it's hard to divorce somebody that, you know, I care about and I still respect and I have to raise these kids with. And
do you respect him a little less? Do you respect him a little less after he caught coronavirus? Like, to be honest.
he was like extra. It was funny because he kept hinting that he might have coronavirus while he was sick, but he would say things like, "I'm not going to tell you what my symptoms are."
Oh,
and then once he got better, yeah, then
fun game.
He was like, "Do you think my fever's still here? Or it's coming and going."
Now, how dry?
Wondering.
How dry does this cough sound to you? Is this a dry cough?
When he started to feel better, he said, "I want to tell you about all my symptoms now that I think I'm better." And I kind of had a very zero reaction, which kind of hurt. It seems like it hurt his feelings, but I was like, "Dude, I already knew that you had all these symptoms, and I already knew that you were convinced you had coronavirus. Maybe you did. I'm not sure," but he was like, "Well, why weren't you more worried? I should have gone to the hospital." I'm like, "Why didn't you go to the fucking hospital?"
You're
okay,
a cold woman, Kelly.
Here's the reality.
Cold woman. Are you in the freezer right now?
Yeah, cold because we're playing games. I mean, If you feel like you're really sick, let's do something about it.
The reality is that if you wait to mediate, it could be a year and a half.
That's true.
And if you think it's feasible that you could get him out of your house, you know, and him in a better, safer living situation.
She's going to leave.
Oh, great. So if you think you can like figure that out and that's going to make your life and your quarantine better, then I would try to, you know, there's Zoom. Why would you even have to drive to another part of town to meet with a mediator? Do it through Zoom.
Oh, we don't. It would be completely remote. It would be completely remote.
I think I'm with Natasha. I'm not with Chelsea on this. I think I'm with Natasha on this one. I think like we have no idea how long this is going to last. And like life must continue to move forward. We must continue to do stuff. So I think, yeah, I think you start the mediation process and you guys can go into separate rooms and pretend that you're not in the same room together.
Start co-parenting.
You shouldn't and glare at each other over the kitchen table.
Exactly. That sounds great for the children.
Yeah.
sounds like there will be a warm home during a pandemic.
Well, it's already a bit of a icy home, I would imagine, right?
Right.
Yeah, or the other option would be for you both to open your laptops and take off all of your clothes and set a fire, like a roaring fire in the fireplace, and stare into one another's eyes as you do the Zoom mediation, each of you on your own laptop.
Seems like the mediator as well.
There aren't any other options, Chelsea. I can't think of one.
Those are the only two options.
What do you think, Chelsea?
Strange array.
What do you think she should do?
Well, is he a rageful person?
No, not at all. He's really a very sensitive person and probably would have had a much gentler response to, I think I have coronavirus, than I did.
I'm just trying to understand because to me, and I really am going into a therapy zone with you right now, but to me, you seem to have anger toward him. And I'm wondering why, like, he's not putting you at, I feel like, did he cheat on you? I feel like I'm getting some sort of anger that makes me feel I want to be on your side, but I don't know the story. So instead, I don't want to.
Oh, God. I was told to be succinct by your producer. <That's
fine. laughs> No, Chelsea's here. The rules are off. Let's Zoom.
I'm a visitor. Sorry. I don't listen to podcasts.
Okay. Let me think about how I can distill this down. I've been talking about with him for 2 years and have been in therapy and we've been in couples therapy and have said, like, I don't think I can continue to do this. So the divorce, asking for the divorce didn't come as a surprise necessarily, but there were things that happened early in our relationship that were just really unhealthy. And
that's what I'm trying to get to.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I was young and I was mixed up and I was like rebounding from another bad relationship into what was a bad relationship. And he brought his own shit and he did some mean things to me that I tolerated and let him do. And so really the anger I've had and the anger I've tried to work through is the anger I've had with myself. About not walking away from a bad situation, but I don't know. That's where I was at.
Was he abusive towards you?
Early on, yeah.
I think we're prying a little bit too deep, maybe. Oh, I don't know, Kelly. I don't want to put you on the spot because you did call to just ask a very simple question about whether you should do...
I mean, this is a very charged question. There's no way to lightly weigh in.
No, that is true. That is true, Kelly. I'm with Chelsea. This is your fault, Kelly, in a way, for putting us in this position on our advice podcast.
My question is... What is the different landscape if you do proceed or if you don't?
Well, I just don't know. I mean, getting a divorce, everything feels sort of uncertain and we're kind of, I'm kind of blowing up the family dynamic. And, cause I don't think he would have asked for the divorce if I didn't say, no, we need to do this. So that in itself is very uncertain. And then just the state of the world is like, you know, what the fuck? Like, is my job going to be secure? Am I going to be able to even, how do you go and view a house and even buy it or an apartment right now? Right. So it's just uncertainty on uncertainty, but I also kind of feel like this is the world I have to accept right now.
And practice.
Well, how long would the mediation take?
I mean, the mediation would be like one or two meetings, and then it's just a matter of, because the mediators, you may know this, you know, we're working with a mediator instead of an attorney.
I don't.
Because we're not
my marriage is like, perfect.
Like, we're not arguing over assets, and it's not contentious.
Yeah.
So we're doing this as peacefully and respectfully as we can, because we're interested in maintaining a relationship and co-parenting the children. Blah. Hippie shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then after we settle the negotiation, we decide, okay, like, this is how much the house is worth. This is how much I'm going to get. This is what we're going to do with this and that. This is what we're going to do with the kids. And the paperwork goes to an attorney and has to wait for 90 days, and it goes to the court, and you're divorced.
Are your kids aware that you guys are getting divorced?
Oh God, that was a nightmare. Yeah. Are they currently aware? I don't know. They were aware at one point.
Cause they were young.
They're small. They're young, and we're all together. We have a lot of meals together still. And so
I have a new kernel of an idea here, which is, that I think my first instinct stands, which is that you don't put your life and your progress on hold because of this, because we just don't know how long this is going to last. But it also seems to me that you guys are getting along so well. You want to co-parent the kids anyway. Actually finalizing this divorce and moving out in the middle of this would probably be, look, I feel less than qualified to be giving this advice as a comedian, not a therapist, but it'd probably be another kind of whammy for this family unit in the middle of this very scary time, to be not only having mom move out, but then have to go back and forth between places. So is there a world in which you continue with the mediation, but you also agree beforehand that the family unit and the house is going to stay together until the end of this quarantine shelter in place thing?
Yeah, no, that's totally, like, we could decide, like, you know, if he wants to buy me out of the house, we could do that, but we could settle that that's what we're going to do, but we're not going to do it until this is over.
I like that. That's my advice.
Yeah, why not? I mean, you already both know that's happening, so why not keep progress in that way and have it settled?
It's not like you can go out and Zoom some other guy right now anyway.
No, I can't.
Yeah.
I mean, you could Zoom one.
You could Zoom one, but you can't Zoom one, if you know what I mean. You can't Zoom over to someone's house and Zoom them. Natasha, what are you with me on this?
I mean, I was under the impression she couldn't stand him.
No, it doesn't seem like that's the case.
If that's not the case, then I think that's
a good
idea.
I mean, there's days where I want to just lose it and lose my temper, but no, I mean, it's not ideal, but
no,
it could be in way worse situations.
This is one of those consequences of this weird, strange time that we're living in that is an unpleasant one. But as unpleasant consequences of the coronavirus go, this one seems pretty manageable. So that's what I say.
Moshe watches 12 hours of Star Trek a day. It's not ideal for me either.
It could be worse, is what she's saying. That's our advice. Natasha and me, we think do the mediation, but stay together as a unit. Chelsea, it sounds like you agree.
I have to go.
Okay, Chelsea's got to go. We have to go too. Kelly, good luck, and I'm sorry that you're going through that, but it will end. It will end. You will have your freedom. It will happen.
All right. Thank you, guys. This was fun. Thank you.
Thanks, Kelly.
Good luck, Kelly.
Stay safe in Tacoma.
Yes.
We'll do.
Farewell.
Bye.
Bye.
Chelsea?
Hmm.
Oh, Chelsea.
I thought this was going to be like more of a sexy love line.
We never know what the call is until we connect.
We can see if we have a sex call.
Yeah, we have one more call if you want to stick around for another.
I mean, listen, it's up to you. It's your show. I clearly have nothing to do.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Now we're going to call Brenna in Napa.
Hello?
Hi, is this Brenna?
Hello?
Brenna?
Hi, Brenna.
Hi, how are you?
It's Natasha and Moshe and our guest, Chelsea Peretti.
Hi.
Hi.
How you doing?
How are you guys?
Oh, we're great. How are you?
I'm great. Good, I'm good. Just dealing with this shelter in place, as I'm sure you guys are.
Oh, it must be so hard for you up in Napa to not just go to the wineries and the vineyards and just do a tasting.
It's rough, yeah, definitely.
Wow.
I do work in the service industry. I actually work for a resort in Napa, so I've been officially laid off.
Oh, God, I'm sorry. Well, maybe we can help you.
Maybe a call-in podcast was a bad idea at this time. Let's just say there's no good news coming in.
Well, Brenna, what's happening? Yeah. Why did you contact us?
Well, I'm going through a situation right now. I recently got out of a relationship that was a little bit abusive, and it was my first one, hopefully the last. And so I put myself on Hinge, and I tried to start dating again. And I met a guy who's amazing. I mean, just absolutely perfect. And he just won't commit to me.
Mm. And I've asked twice now. So he's not perfect.
Yeah, not perfect.
Okay. I met a guy who's absolutely perfect. He doesn't have a dick. But other than that.
Perfect in every way except for that way, yes.
Okay, so what's the question?
So I think the question is, should I continue to stay with this person and try to see if there's something that's real and that could be, you know, a future, or should I just move on with my life?
Now, you said stay with this person, but this person isn't with you.
The truth hurts.
that's the tricky true. Part, right? That's the tricky part. I'd never think you should stay with the person who's hedging their bets. You can find someone who will fucking commit to you. If you're, I mean, as long as you're always working on yourself and growing, I don't know what kind of mojo you got going on, but, you know, there's no reason to stay with someone who's not giving you what you want.
Right. And we're kind of like in this situation. He recently got divorced. You know, he's 35. I'm 24. And he has a young
sounds
child.
Perfect.
It does sound like the picture of perfection.
Where's the catch?
He's like, I'm made of catches.
He's 50 years older than me, a divorced.
He's a divorced 50-year-old with children, but here's the good news. He's not willing to commit to me.
Look, he's a doctor.
What does he do for work?
No, he's a bartender.
Oh, my God. Wait, what's perfect about him?
I think it's mostly just, I don't know, it's just different. It feels different this time. And, you know, we always say that, like, oh, it feels different this time and everything's amazing. And it's just, it's tough for me because I'm trying to make it work. And I'm like, please just commit to me. Just give me a shred of something. And it just is not happening.
You got the bomb dick?
Did he give you a shred of that Dill's neck?
That 35-year-old dick is a little different, huh? It's a little, it's more mature. It's more present.
The dick is good.
Yeah.
I didn't know about female ejaculation until recently.
Chelsea, we got your call. We got the call you wanted.
Oh yeah, skloosh.
Oh, but now you're quarantined. You know what, Are you seeing him during your quarantine in place? Are you getting that gawoosh going on during shelter in place, or do you not even get to see him now?
Boy, are you just splashing all over that Zoom sesh.
It's my fifth iPad this week.
Here's the funny thing. I'm actually at his house right now, secretly talking to you guys in his bedroom.
God.
He is in another room.
He's probably FaceTiming with some other girl right now.
Wait, what is he doing in the other room?
He's working on wood. With wood.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, I can tell by your voice that you already know it's not going to work out, and I can also tell by your voice that you're not going to leave right now.
How can you tell that?
It's obvious that you're like, you're sprung. You know he's not going to commit to you and that he's not perfect, but you're going to see it through to the bitter end and see if you can wrestle him into submission. The one thing you have going for you is that you're probably hotter than him because he's 35. But I just think...
You think hot goes by age?
No, I just mean, you know, I'm, no. I think like when a guy's not willing to commit, you know, that usually isn't temporary. That's my experience.
Right.
It's usually not like, I'm not willing to commit now, but in 6 months I am willing to commit. It's usually like they're telling you information that you should listen to, which is you're not going to get what you want. If that's what you want, if all you want to do is female ejaculate all over his hand-shorn wood table that he crafted, then I think you should stick with it.
I mean, it's all so crazy. I do consider myself like a pretty attractive young lady. And so I've never been in a situation where I've dated somebody with a child or had this much baggage. And it's just like, I'm kind of just carving my way through it and seeing how it goes day by day. And it's, you know, sometimes it gets exhausting is all, but I mean, the squirting part, that's fine. That's, you know, I'll stick with that part, but
you should. Chelsea,
the other part.
Yeah. What do you think, Chelsea?
Yeah.
What do you think? What do you think of this dilemma?
I think it's not a dilemma at all. He doesn't sound like he's that much of a catch or even really involved with you in a... Listen, if someone isn't giving you their all, then your all should be walking out the door.
But not right now, because it's shelter in place. Don't walk out the door.
Oh, wait, yeah. If someone isn't giving you their all, then you should be all about yourself and your house.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. Tosh, any thoughts?
Like, did a phone sex operator call me? This is
oh yeah.
I think enjoy him while you can.
That's fair. You are in quarantine, so you might as well get some more of that woodworking dick as long as you can. But I think you already know the answer to this one.
Hey, get him to whittle you a dildong
to remember him by.
Maybe start telling him that this is your last time together.
Oh yeah,
and try to like inspire a little romance.
Yeah, get like an advent calendar until you leave him, and so every day you guys spend together, you open a little door and there's a little condom in it, and then at the end of it, you should just take off.
Wait, why are you guys quarantining together?
Well, it's actually interesting. His daughter and his daughter and the mother of his child is currently quarantining because they just had a coronavirus test 2 days ago. So now my thoughts are, well, I can't go back home with the people I live with and spread that if I have it. So that's why we're
perfect
together.
you were probably so psyched.
Yeah, no, you're right.
I was.
He is.
Oh no, we're trapped together.
He does some more.
So now you told him 14 days. How many days are you going to stay there?
I mean, it's rough. I did have to bring like 50 pairs of fucking panties.
Oh, because you keep getting them all soaking
squirting.
Wet, right? Yeah.
No, listen. She wears them all at once. And
No, he does sound, the more you describe him, he does sound more and more perfect. He's a 35-year-old divorced bartender woodworker that won't commit to you and probably has COVID-19.
Dreamy. Oh yes. Lock it down.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's gonna work out. But you're 24.
What are other things you think are perfect? Stepping in dog shit. Burning your dinner. a leaky roof.
Leaky roof.
Well, here's
tornadoes.
A light cancer scare.
I recently introduced him to this podcast, and I made him watch your guys' honeymoon special, so he's probably going to hear all of this.
Well, if you're listening, sir, we think you're a great guy. We'd love to have some cheap woodwork done when this quarantine ends. We think you should stay with her. You sound like a catch.
You're great.
Yeah, good luck.
Okay, well, good luck.
Good luck. We're sorry we didn't have better advice for you, but at least get the dick while it's there. It's in-house. Just go get it.
And also, I hope his wife and kids survive.
I hope so too, God, because then I have no angle at that point.
Oh, my God.
Good morning, black. So important.
Good luck. Keep squirting.
Okay, bye-bye. That was so funny when Chelsea was like, you must have been loving that. When the other kids had to quarantine.
She's like, my dreams come true. Chelsea,
I mean, that is just the epitome of being younger, and like that's how I spent my 20s.
Oh yeah. No, the cognitive dissonance between saying the words he's perfect and then describing him.
It's just describing a fucking train wreck. And also he's like fucking doing woodworking instead of hanging out with him.
So the best part is that she's like single and 24 and he's like, sorry babe, no can do, I gotta go catch COVID with my old family.
Oh, what a mess.
Well, life's Chelsea, a mess. Thanks for talking with us.
Yeah, Chelsea, that was a delight. A true delight.
Thanks for having me. It was great laughing with you guys again.
Same here.
Look forward to the future.
I truly miss you, Chelsea, and
I can't wait for us to
actually hang out in person again.
I do too. Do you have... go ahead.
Yes. I was just thinking the last big party I was at your house, and what an epicenter it must have been.
What a sweet spot.
Anyway.
Wait, I wanted to ask Chelsea one more thing.
Did you forget?
Yes. Yes, I rewrote my script.
Oh, don't you have your coffee album? Don't you have an album?
Oh, yes, I do. And I look forward to releasing some music very soon.
Well, let me tell you, Chelsea played me some hot exclusive tracks from the upcoming coffee album, and it is very funny and good music at the same time. So when it comes cop that. Chelsea Peretti, thank you for joining us tonight.
Bye,
Natasha.
From your bunker.
And from my bunker to your bunker.
Okay, talk to you soon. Okay.
Bye, Chelsea.
Bye.
Zoom, zoom.
Zoom, zoom to you too. I hope you zoom tonight. Let's take a break. Let's play some secrets.
Okay, so it's... second day of social distancing and quarantining, so I guess I might as well just get this off my chest. I am a gay male, and ever since I was little, I started masturbating kind of like, I guess, earlier than usual, so it was around like 6 or 7. And since that point, I've always just basically just like not wiped my own come, and instead of just like eating it, or like I guess swallowing it is the most appropriate term, and maybe TMI, but I kind of just want to gather if it's something that other guys do. I remember I noticed it wasn't that common of a thing once I started sleeping with other men and realizing that they were all either just wiping it or, you know, getting rid of it and stuff. And so I kind of, whenever I sleep around with other guys, I kind of just do the same thing and just like, oh, can I please get a towel or can I get whatever and just wipe it off or something. But then anytime I masturbate by myself and I'm in my room or wherever I'm masturbating, I just swallow my own cum. So I guess if that's not gay, I don't know what is. Love the podcast. Love you too. Stay safe. And yeah, bye.
I got a lot. I have a lot of thoughts. First of all, I love that he used the word gather. I want to just gather information. It's like, you're already gathering a lot, my friend. But also, you can't gather because this is like his dark little secret. You can't be like, well, who does this? Because everybody that does this would need a secrets hotline to admit it. As I even think this guy's lovers probably, he doesn't know because it's different. They're not, he doesn't know what they do when they're by themselves. Do you think it's gay though that he does it or just like gross?
I think it's a little gross.
Yeah.
Because it's like, why slurp when you could just like wipe?
Well, yeah, I didn't mean gross like there's something inherently nasty about it. I mean, like, you know, like when you pick a scab and eat it or whatever.
Ew.
You never heard of that?
Ew, dude.
Yeah, it's not really your style. But the point is, like, it might be more that, or is it sexual? I guess what I'm asking is, I wonder if you, sir, call us back. Do you get turned on when you do it?
No, he doesn't get turned on.
No, so it's not really sexual. It's not really gay. It has nothing to do
sexual,
with gay.
Right.
It's kind of like functional. I
mean, honestly, this was just starting to make me think, like, how much are people who are single masturbating and quarantining in quarantine? And then I realized that you and I were talking about, you said that you saw that 100% of...
Well, there was a poll that was put out. This guy, Lewis Peitzman, that I follow on Twitter, nice guy, knows a lot about the theater. So every time I go to New York, I ask him what's a good play on, although they don't have those anymore. And he did a quote, if you're in a couple and in quarantine, are you having more sex, less sex, no sex, or the same? And 100% of respondents had clicked on less sex. And I thought, yeah, I wonder if people are less horny right now.
I don't feel that horny right now.
Yeah, yeah, I hear you. I mean, I definitely do because I've been watching those Star Trek films. But I know what you're saying. Like, and so, anyway, that's an aside. Also, the idea that he said TMI on a Secrets hotline. It's like, that's the name of the game, baby.
I admired his candor.
Absolutely. It's TMI Central. You do not be ashamed on the Secrets hotline.
No.
You're only as sick as your secrets, they used to say in AA. And now you no longer have that load on your chest.
Okay, let's hear another one.
Hey, so I'm Melissa from Arkansas. I'm just going to leave a secret here for y'all. So when I was a kid, one spawn time, I overflowed a toilet. The toilet was filling up fast, really scared me. So ever since then, I was scared taking big old shits in the toilet. So naturally, waited about a week or so, I don't know, until I really couldn't hold any longer. And I pooped into a grocery bag, and then I put the poop in the doggy bin where you put your dog's poop anyways, because I didn't want my toilet to overflow. So did that for a few months. It wasn't great and I was young. Okay, goodbye.
Some of this was confusing.
I was with her the whole time. She was a little kid. She dookied in the toilet. You know, the place where our daughter didn't shit today. But she flushed it, and it overflowed the toilet. She was really scared to get in trouble. So she held in her shit for a full week. And when she couldn't take it anymore, she got a shopping bag, shit into it, tied it off, and dropped it into a doggy bag receptacle.
But she said sweet. She did that for a few months.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, man. It could be worse. You could be like the last guy. You could eat it every time.
I touch so much shit every day.
Our daughters?
Well, I pick up dog. We have three chihuahuas.
Yeah.
And I obsessively pick up the dog shit.
Yeah.
And then I also pick up our kids' shit when she shits, like she did today.
Sure.
And then today I was swinging my daughter outside and I went like with a bag to clean up some more shit. And she was like, "Mommy, don't clean up dog poop. Swing me."
It is a little weird how much of our lives as human beings is cleaning up the feces of another animal.
Yeah. I was like, is my kid going to like just have memories of me just cleaning up dog shit and baby shit and shit?
Do you remember your mom cleaning your shit?
No, but we didn't have three dogs.
I'm just saying.
I hear you.
She'll probably forget this most embarrassing period of her life. Let's play another secret.
What's up? I have a secret, and then also wanted to respond to the dude who thought that the girl like fucked a dude who fucked a dead person. I like get rashes when somebody comes on me, and unless like every single man I've ever fucked has like also fucked a dead body, I think that maybe like she just gets rashes from that. I don't know. But my secret is I own a business. And this competitor kind of popped up a couple years after we opened. And they're just fucking nerds. I can't stand them. They're rude. They secret shop us. Like, all sorts of things that make them just so, I don't know, unbearable to deal with. Copy our style, that kind of stuff. But they're just these really clueless people who, like, used to work at, like, a Walmart. And they're just they're just fucking nerds. I don't like them. So when they put ads out on Instagram or like Facebook or anything, I like constantly report them as inappropriate. And I don't know if that's going to fuck the algorithm on my own business or my own page, but I also have like other like meme pages and stuff. And like, yeah, I like report them on everything. So fuck them. I don't know. Anyway, love the show. Thanks, guys. Bye.
How petty. I love it. The pettiness that the internet has allowed us to engage in is unparalleled.
Is she flagging them from inappropriate from her business like page?
Well, no one knows.
That doesn't seem smart.
No, no one knows. You can't track down who flagged you. What do you think her business is? I was guessing maybe a vape shop.
I was thinking like skateboard clothes.
I don't know, because she said they copy our style, so they have to have like a proprietary design or flavor or something. And they said they used to work at Walmart. So I'm like, okay, so it's probably right. Not like art school kids. I'm like, I think it's a vape shop. Are you a vape shop? If you're listening, you clearly listen to the podcast.
Oh, they send in secret shoppers.
I don't know. Oh, whoa. Maybe to taste their vape flavors. See what kind of flavors they got kicking. Oh, I miss vaping. Oh, man.
Me too. God, I wish we vaped right now. We could just be like, after the pandemic, we'll stop.
No, never. Nothing lung.
Ugh,
nothing,
now it's just like Nicorette.
Nothing lung related for the rest of my life. That's what.
Really?
Yeah, man. I'm not trying to fuck with these lungs. These beautiful pink things.
So you're just off of it.
Yeah, man. Not for the lungs. No. I want to save these lungs. I want to live for a long, long time. And also, I'm sorry you get rashes every time somebody busts a nut on you. But maybe it's karma for reporting your competitor.
She said that?
At the beginning. Yeah, she said every time someone blasts on her, she gets a rash. So maybe you're gay. Think about it that way.
Hey, guys. All right. Here's my secret. I enjoy my own farts. I think more than is normal. Like sometimes I'll have really smelly ones and I'll fart under the blanket and like Dutch oven myself. Cause I like it. And then sometimes when they're especially bad, I intentionally fart in front of my boyfriend because it grosses him out so much, and I just find it hilarious how grossed out he gets. I'm sick. I gotta get this off my chest. So, there you go.
No, you're not. I'm sorry.
Are you a bodily humors person? Like, do you think that's funny?
This woman says she's sick. She's not psychologically sick. She's physically sick, it sounds like. She has gastrointestinal issues. And
oh, for real?
I mean, I don't know. I'm making a joke.
Oh.
She said she had the grossest farts in Tallahassee or whatever. This was a gross batch of secrets, by
right.
the way. One guy ate his own cum. The other one shit in a bag. The next one gets rashes every time someone busts on her. And this one likes to fart the grosser. Why would you want to link your boyfriend's psychology to the your shit cycle? Like, ha, ha, ha. It's like, no wonder everybody's less horny during the pandemic. We're all farting around each other all the time. It's no breaks.
Yeah, I don't know. But I do think that's a thing, like bodily humor stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I can find it funny. Sure.
You like it. People, it's relatable. Everybody's talking about it.
Everybody's talking about it?
Everyone on all these calls.
Well, I was thinking there's something about a secrets hotline that kind of like rips the skin off of how gross we all are secretly. Like everybody in the world is doing something gross when they're in private. And now we know that beautiful woman or man that you're lusting over, that person is swallowing their load and shitting in bags. Everybody's gross. Well, you know what, Tosh?
Yeah, Mosh.
Right now,
yeah.
There's only one thing I want to do. It's all I want to do.
What?
Zoom, 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 and a zoom, zoom. Oh. You know why I want to zoom you so bad?
Why?
Because I'm horny.
I'm
you know
horny
why else?
Too.
You know why else?
Why?
Because I love you.
I love you too.